Hey, 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 thanks very much indeed for showing up for this episode 19 of the What's Racing About podcast, The Wrap, the podcast that ensures that you get the most out of UK and Irish horse racing. With a bing and a bong and a buzz, 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 this podcast has got a bit of everything for everybody. We're going to take a look back over the season in the company of our friend Wayward Lad, who you'll know from several podcasts that we've done already with him, the man with the insights into particularly National Hunt racing. He's going to take a look back at what's been occurring over the course of the National Hunt season, and he comes up with a couple of interesting insights. The first English classics, the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas at Newmarket. He's got his eye on a horse in the 2,000 guineas, and he'll be coming up with that shortly. I've got a couple of horses that may be of interest to you to put into trackers that may be running later on in this season and are well handicapped for next season. And we finish off with a bit more of an insight into the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas, which are the first English classics taking place at Newmarket this coming weekend. So let's get stuck in straight away. Here he comes, the man that needs no introduction. He's going to get one anyway. Our good friend Wayward Lad. Me and him do the Waldorf and Stadler routine now, and taking a look back over the National Hunt season and a quick look forward to the 2,000 guineas this coming weekend. Hi, mate. How's it going?
Not too bad at all. I've been focusing mainly on the flat. I don't take too great an interest in the flat. I like to stick with the listed races and the classics. And I also do a bit of place betting, really, as well, because the form is always very difficult for me to read on the flat. So I try to stay at the... give myself a little bit of an interest in a race.
I thought you'd gone over to the dark side. You've gone over to the flat now. It's Raven's leaving the Tower of London now. It's like the world's going to collapse now.
Just to keep me hand in, that's all, really. I mean, I've got a feeling, I'm hoping that Luxembourg wins it for AP O'Brien, the 2,000 guineas on Saturday. I think the favourite looks a bit too sprint-bred late at trail. And I don't know about Corrie Obbus. It's something about it. It wasn't in against the best quality horses last year. And I think it's a bit of a false second favourite, whereas Luxembourg, it looked a real deal when it won it up at Doncaster over the mile. Yeah. And it also ran green, I thought. £8 since we last saw it.
Well, it's in the hands of a master trainer, isn't it? So I think it would be. Well, the flat, then, eh? So, I wasn't expecting to go in this direction, but whilst we're on the subject, 1,000 guineas as well. Any thoughts in that?
I think the fillies are a different ball game altogether. They can change in a matter of weeks, and it's just too much of a lottery. I think the 1,000 guineas. If you go through the records, you get so many long price winners. They just come out of nowhere, and it's harder. It's a much harder race to gauge, to be perfectly honest. Stick with the Colts until later on in the season.
Yeah, well, interesting times. As I say, it's going to be an exciting weekend for flat fans anyway. So,
I'll be watching the
best of Luxembourg.
Punches down this last couple of days.
it's interesting that, I mean, I should tell you, we're actually recording this on the evening of the Tuesday, the first day of the Punches Down Festival, and what an interesting day it's been. Our old friend in Ugamine did what it was supposed to do, but a few others have
broken. It wasn't working, like I thought, but at the end of the day, it's a long season.
It is, yeah, and it's done what sort of Sprinter Sacra has done in recent times, done the sort of Cheltenham Punches Down Double, but a few others have blotted their copybooks, haven't they?
Yeah, Bob Orange will be hurdling next season. I did think that last bit was a very fortunate winner at Cheltenham. I mean, incredibly fortunate, because I rated that performance at Cheltenham about 148, 150, and I don't think it would have got in the first four or five. I wrote down the blog, first four or five in any previous 2.5 mile chase, Grade 1 chase. It was very, very fortunate. Only four horses turned up. It's a bit of a downer for the winner of that race, Galopin de Champ. Not so the one that fell, not with the winner. It was going to be the winner.
It was.
Perfectly honest, the dog he was walking around Blackpool Beach could have probably beat Bob Orange on at Cheltenham. It's a pretty poor horse. It was well beaten, and I can see that here next season. And Beacon Edge, who was also pulled up in the race, I can see that going back, because that couldn't jump a fence for Toffee. Honestly, it was every fence it skewed his legs, and then he eventually got pulled up. So. But they were both very good hurdlers. I mean, they've both done the business over the hurdle with it at Cheltenham. And there's no reason why they can't go back there again.
What do you think? Is that stairs hurt?
Yeah, or? They probably will. They're both going to go in the stairs.
You'd have to think so, wouldn't you? But obviously, you've been tried over 3 miles today, and well, the jury's out, and he obviously didn't perform today. But you have to think that 3 miles would be its trip.
I don't think it's got the speed for 2 miles.
No,
to be honest.
No. It's interesting to see what Mullins had to say about the winner of that novice chase today, Cappadano, who probably wasn't one of the sort of leading lights, or certainly top of the pecking order in Mullins' stable. But he said he's training him for the Gold Cup next year.
Well, the thing is, you can never tell what... I mean, you think he likes to have a lot of strings to his bow, Mullins. And he doesn't give an awful lot away. I would expect him to be training Cappadano for the Gold Cup, but then he's probably got about 8 Gold Cup horses in his stable for next season. Statler's one. He's got Galopin de Champs is another. He's going to have at least half a dozen in training. And also, he doesn't give much away, to be honest.
Well, not this far out, he doesn't, does he?
No.
But it's just, I just thought it was interesting what he said. You know, it's like you wouldn't have thought he'd have been that sort of adamant about things, but he seemed pretty sort of confident that was going to be, whether he's good enough for the Gold Cup, who knows, but that was what he's going to be trained with that in mind.
Because even if he doesn't go for the Gold Cup, he's probably end up, I can see that Cappadano being a national horse, because he ran a cracking race today. I thought, it was at the front, ball jumping, stayed the trip very well.
Yep.
And, you know, it's, at the end of the day, it was on the sort of ground that it's likely to get an entry.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think that was a good goal. That was a fairly good national trial, that one.
Long shot for the national then for next year. Or so, well, maybe
the thing is, you've got to have a horse that's rated at least 140, 145 to get in the race now.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got, and the top end of the weights tend to do better.
Well, it does now. I mean, you know, it was. He's obviously a novice chaser this year. First season chase next year out of novice company. And the received wisdom was that those were never going to win a national, but it's that much easier. Obviously, the novice won it this year. So who's to say he can't sort of do it? I said, what is he, a 7-year-old or something? Maybe a 7-8-year-old. 7-year-old next season, I think. So, you know, they're never supposed to win grand nationals, but, you know, he's in the hand of a master trainer. So who's to say he can't? But an interesting poke this far out anyway.
Yeah, talking about the Grand National, I thought that was my performance. That was the performance of the season for me in the Grand National. That wasn't so much the horse, but Sam Wallycoe in the saddle.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was one of the best rides I've seen in an awful long time. He missed the start, and if you watched him, he must have been 20 lengths behind the leaders going to the first fence. And he didn't hurry the horse along. He took advantage of that position, and he used the first 4 fences to get the horse into a rhythm, and then he just gradually teased him through the field.
Yeah.
And he used the advantage of knowing the course, the entry course so well, to pinch half of his lengths at numerous places. Caltain, both times he went over Caltain, he must have improved his position by about 6 lengths, and he snuck up the inside. And a long stretch between what would be the third last and the second last, where they run about half a mile without jumping a fence crossing the Merlin Road. I mean, again, he ran up the inside there, and he found loads of room. He picked up a lot of ground, and he ended up jumping the chair and going out in the second circuit, literally 6 or 7 lengths off the lead.
Yeah.
And then he again coaxed the horse into the race, and he was in a position coming to the second last, and he had a double handful. I mean, I was on the second one. Any second now, who I thought was going to win, he's jumping the last. But then looked over at Sam Wallycoe, and the horse he had under him looked like he'd only done one circuit.
Yeah, it looked like he'd been put into the race at the final fence.
It was the absolute perfect ride. I think it was a third or fourth horse. It was an early fence in the race. I think Mount Ida fell. I think it was the third fence. And fell right in front of him, and he managed to skip the horse around. Most jockeys wouldn't have had the reaction time. They'd have just clattered straight into the back of Mount Ida, and that'd be in the end of the race.
That's a big call anyway. The ride of the season from an amateur jockey who's now retired.
And fair play to him. I mean, what an ambassador for the sport.
And what a story. I mean, it's easy to shoehorn a story into a Grand National, and people often sort of guilty of doing that, but that was a genuine story.
Of course.
He announced his retirement on the Thursday, rides the Grand National win on the Friday. albeit giving the horse too many cracks of the whip. I think if he was probably going to be riding again on the Monday, he might not have done it, but who's to say? But anyway, he got away with it, shall we say. He was banned from riding from races that he's never going to ride in anyway. But yeah, it's a heartwarming story for the lad anyway, and fair play to him. I just wonder who's going to ride it next season, because whoever's taken over from Dave Roberts as a jockey's agent, they're going to be clamouring to get on that one for next season.
Probably, yeah. I mean, the only thing is that the handicapper has doing no favours whatsoever. He's put up to 158, which I thought was pretty poor, to be perfectly honest. Because you've got to remember, if that ran to 158, then that means that any second now ran a better race than April's time. You know, in the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, was that a Gold Cup winning performance you saw from any second now? Well, yeah. I didn't think it was.
No.
You know, and that's what really bugs me about the handicapping system. They put horses up. They don't rate the performance. They rate the race, and which is appallingly bad. And, you know, the horse ran a fair... I didn't think, actually, the winner ran any better than it did when it was second to Foy Senor or something like that. When it came second.
Weatherby, wasn't it?
So, I didn't think it was that. It wasn't a spectacular performance. He just stayed the trip really well.
Yeah.
You know, he ran 4 miles better than anything else on the day. And that was it. I mean, going on from handicapping and that sort of stuff, that's what I'm hoping. That, you know, if I had a hope for the next season, it's that the Jockey Club actually take a look and review novice chase races altogether. And they do a proper root and branch review of what's going wrong with the novice chases, and they must put together some sort of financial improvements or something like that to get them to perform really. And I was thinking about this week, the Potence final and a series of races over hurdles over 3 miles works really well. You know, you get big fields for the qualifiers, first five in each race are able to qualify for the final, and then you end up with a full 25 runners going to Cheltenham for a big prize. And I think they need to do something like that. They need to sort of like say, right, we're putting up £100,000 at Cheltenham in a handicap hurdle for novice, or a handicap chase for novices over maybe 2 miles 6. And it's a trip that needs a bit of thinking about. And you end up with 20 odd horses in it.
Something has got to be done for the novice chase division, because it's dying on its arse, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Oh, God,
I. So it's, I mean, you'd like to think that somebody at BHA Towers was taking a long, hard look at it and going either down the route that you said, putting some serious money into a Potemp style race or just something just to freshen up, or having a word with the handicapper, or just to get the division freshened up, because it's 4 runner races appeal to nobody, do they?
But they've also got to start moving horse racing, the bigger races, the bigger prize money races, away from the top tracks. You know, they've got to start sending, you know, let's have a big, you know, I know they have the Peterborough Cup at Huntingdon, but let's have a decent chase there or something like that. Exeter is a fantastic jumping track. Get a novice chase going on down there.
It's funny you say that, because that meeting at Kelso, which is just sort of a couple of weeks before Cheltenham, it's kind of like the silly season where most horses have had their prep race, and they put up a shed load of money. Lingfield as well, they put that weekend on, and it's like, well, where the hell did that come from? You know, and you'd like to think they can do it again this coming, you know, in the next season, and it'll be supported. They'll get a bit of traction with the public and with trainers, and they get a bit of support, because sort of enterprise like that just deserves its reward. It's the old Wayne's World thing: build it, and they'll come.
Far too much money in horse racing is sticking in the south of England, and with just certain trains. When you've got like 80% of the races at Cheltenham won by 4 trainers, it doesn't bode well, you know. And it's been like that now for about 5 years. You're just losing good trainers who just can't make it pay.
That's a down note, but finishing on an up note, what dark horses, or what have you got? What are you keen to look at? And what are you keen to see next year?
I haven't got any dark horses. What I'm looking forward to is next year's is some of the more exciting novices coming through. You know, Constitution Hill's got to be. I think that's a better horse than Altior, to be perfectly honest. It's a year younger than Altior when the same race. I mean, we could have witnessed another sprinter faker. I mean, I hope we have. I just hope that Henderson actually runs it a bit more than sprint, to be perfectly honest, because we need to see good horses like that running around the track. Galopin de Cham, I don't know, it's difficult to know what he actually was looking like beating at Cheltenham. But again, it looks a very exciting horse. I mean, because it was running a faster time than Alahou in the Ryanair later on in the day. Is it a really good horse? You know, we don't really know, to be perfectly honest, but it looks like it is. You know, and then you got Vauban that won the Triumph.
That was some horse, wasn't it?
You know, that looked an absolute monster. And the thing is, it wouldn't surprise me if that picks up. This is Eric's next November. Yeah, this November coming up, October, November. I mean, if that race has been won by Mullins before.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vauban's just the sort of horse that could do that and then go and win the Melbourne Cup the following month.
That's what they said. It was. It's got a date in the Southern Hemisphere before the next national hunt season sort of rears its ugly head. So, it'd be interesting to see if it goes for that.
You know, when then you've got the first two home in the County Hurdle, State Man and Fair Street. I mean, State Man, that was only its second ever race over hurdles. That wasn't its first race. Would its better race went straight into the county, and it wouldn't do in handstands, honest to God. It's difficult to know just how good that is. State Man is a sort of horse, and of the age. I wouldn't be surprised if that develops into a champion hurdle ability. Fair Street, who was second for Henderson, that ran a cracker. And again, it looks that it's a novice hurdler. I wouldn't be surprised to see that winning the Arkle next March.
I've nailed my colours to John Bond for the Arkle next year, but it'd be interesting to see if he does send it down the chasing route.
If I've got a dark horse at the moment, it's always worth taking a think, having a view about some of the Gold Cup horses, because it's very difficult for any horse to win the Gold Cup twice. And as much as A Plus Star looked at a stone better than anything else, it's got to come back to the well for a fourth time at Cheltenham, because it's already been a two-time Cheltenham winner.
Yeah.
And it's come second at Cheltenham. So this will be its fourth visit to Cheltenham next March. Whether it can do it again is debatable. One horse that I thought was Farouk Dalen, and that fell to the Brian Advisory, and it was absolutely cruising under Davy Russell. And I think he took it a bit too easy going to the second lap, because it comes straight after the bend and it crumpled on landing. And I think that's not fallen there. I think that would have gone, might well have won that race, in which case we'd be looking at a very interesting horse for the Gold Cup next season. Because Long Press, I think, is 8-1.
It won the RSA well enough, but I'm still not convinced. I'd have to have a look at it again and look at its form and put my finger on it. High class horse. Don't know if it's Gold Cup class for me yet, but who knows?
What was good about it? I think that was its first race at 3 miles, wasn't it? And it won it easily. And you've got to think, well, when a horse runs over 3 miles for the first time, especially in a competitive race, then they're usually given a fairly easy time, because you never know what, you know, you don't want to push them too hard. And it came to win the race, and it did. And so the you've got to expect it to improve from that Long Press. And again, Venetia Williams knows what she's doing.
She does, yeah.
She's an
underrated trainer, isn't she?
Yeah, she's been around the block a few times.
Our whistle's well and truly wetted then for next year. What's the plan for yourself for the next sort of 3 or 4 months? Are you going to keep the blog going over the summer with the flat?
I don't mind the blog during the summer. It's, I don't know enough. I don't have enough knowledge on the flat.
Yeah.
So just keep my eye in. Me personally, I might post a few tips on Twitter and that sort of stuff.
So what are you? Will you have a crack at the Swinton Hurdle, or do you just draw stumps now and come back October?
It's as you saw today. I mean, I had a couple of little small wagers at Punchestown today, and the form's erratic. I've never backed Capodanno. Sir Gerhard got beat by the Mighty Potter.
Yeah.
I mean, that was well fancied, and then it I think it pulled up at Cheltenham, didn't it? After about 6 points.
I think it did, something like that. But 20-1, and the second was 100-1 as well. So Gatsby Gray.
It's difficult to work out what the form is at Punchestown. It's a nice meeting to watch, but you know, expecting horses to stay at the peak for 2 months at this time of year is asking a lot, I think.
For sure, yeah.
And I think they'll all be looking forward to getting in the field next week and having a roll in the grass. So in some some respects, I think the form of this that the Punchestown meeting is just a bit unpredictable, really.
Yeah, well, I think people just go there for the sort of shits and giggles after the. I think Cheltenham's the one they are sort of aiming for. Then Ainsley, then the sort of parties at Punchestown afterwards. And if you get a winner there, well, you'll get a lot of money for it. It's more for the crack, I think. That the one time that I went over there, that was certainly the way I approached it. Anyway, good. Oh, all right. Listen, you take care of yourself, and I'll definitely be in touch. And have a good summer. If I don't speak, I'll speak to you in the meantime. But
till
October.
And the Charlie Hall.
You have a good summer anyway, mate. Take care of yourself.
Cheers, mate.
Speak to you again soon. All the best. Our friend Wayward Lad there. Definitely give his blog a check out. It's unsurprisingly waywardlad.blogspot. He's always good value. Puts in the hard mileage. Thoroughly knowledgeable, writes engagingly, and he's there pretty much every Saturday throughout the jump season. So that's me blowing sunshine up him. Not that he needs it. He's been basically blogging for 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. Turns in a profit every season, so well worth following his tips. Just before we go on and have a quick peek at the 2000 and 1000 guineas this coming weekend, there's a couple of horses that I want to highlight. One ran back in early March. Horse called We've All Been Caught, ran in a bumper and won a bumper at Newbury. It caught my eye, A, because of the way it ran and won, which was really impressive. It's an Irish bumper winner, an Irish point winner in soft ground. It actually then went through the sales ring at Cheltenham for £210,000 at the January Tat sales. It's a very expensive horse. It's a getaway gelding. And it won particularly well at Newbury, I thought. It was very sort of big, bit uncoordinated, bit cumbersome, but it's going entirely the right way. It won with any amount in hand, and it's going to be an exciting, certainly novice hurdler next year, and then probably going into a staying chaser eventually. He's with Nigel Twiston Davis, who obviously knows the time of day when it comes to budding staying chasers. So that's We've All Been Caught. Watch out for him next year. The other horse was running on Saturday at Sandown, and it's a horse called Glynn, horse of Nicky Henderson's. Glynn ran in the race run by Samarive, which was the Bet365 handicap hurdle, a 0-145 handicap hurdle, class 2 race, over about 2.5 miles. At first glance, its form looks pretty unimpressive. It actually came 5th out of 8. What struck me was this was its first run for 315 days. It ran horribly well towards the rear, looked to then blow up, but ran on really strongly and well at the end. That, to me, is a sign of a horse that probably needed the race, blew up but then ran on, and will probably come on for that race. If it runs again in this new National Hunt season, certainly in the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks, I'd be interested in seeing how it goes. As I say, it ran at Sandown off of a mark of 133. It came 5th. It'll probably be dropped a few pounds, maybe down to about 130. That should get it into a class 3 race, and that would make it competitive. Certainly if we do get any sort of rain at all, if it's running on good or good to soft ground in the next few weeks, over 2.5 miles, it'll be carrying my money. Glynn, to go with We've All Been Caught. Watch out for them. Before we go then, a real quick look at the two guineas races this coming weekend, the first English classics of the season. It's Thursday night, so we don't know the final runners and riders for the 1,000 guineas on Sunday. We've got the decks through for the 2,000 guineas, the Colts Classic, on Saturday. Not an awful lot of value that I feel I can add here. The market looks to have got it around about right. To my form reading skills, Native Trail looks a worthy favourite. He came out and won the Craven really well. That's not been a great trial over the last few years, but you can't do anything more than win your trial race in a pretty impressive time figure and in a pretty impressive fashion, I thought, as well. So probably a worthy favourite, whether he should be even favourite against a field of 15, not my idea of value. I'd probably be going with Wayward Lad's horse, Luxembourg, who he tipped up earlier on in the podcast. He's got a really good, Luxembourg, not Wayward Lad. Luxembourg has got a very good breeding profile. He hits all the marks that I look for in a horse. Obviously, he's trained by master trainer Aidan O'Brien. Ran and won really well at the back end of last season in the Vertum Futurity Trophy as it is at Doncaster. So put up an exceptional speed figure in that. He's around about 5-1, and that looks to be my idea of value as well. So God forbid me and Wayward Lad both going for Luxembourg. Of the outsiders, I would probably be a little bit interested in Boundless Ocean, purely because, again, it looks fairly well bred and it's trained by Jim Bolger. His horse is always worth a second look in the 2000 guineas. It's coming back in trip from 10 furlongs, which I don't particularly like, and its racing post ratings figures could be a little bit better. But again, fairly well bred, trained by a master trainer. Yeah, looking to be a horse of some potential, possibly to have each way a potential at fairly sort of sizey odds. Turning our attention then to the Fillies Classic, the 1,000 guineas on Sunday. As I say, this is coming at you on Thursday evening, so we don't know who the final declared runners are going to be. Again, the market looks to have got it just about right. The race was robbed of some of its interest when Inspiral, the winter market leader for the race, was pulled out at the start of last week. It's not ready for the 1,000 guineas this coming weekend, and that'll be saved by trainer John Gosden for assignments later on in the season. That left Tenebrism as the favourite. Decent looking animal, got a breeding profile, probably a worthy favourite. My idea of value would be something like Wild Beauty, good dosage figures, it's a Group 1 winner. They were talking about it going to the French guineas, so obviously we'll find out tomorrow whether it's going to line up for our guineas on Sunday. But if it does go to Newmarket, it will be of interest to me. It's got fairly large odds as well. I'm just looking on Odds Checker, and if it does turn up, Wild Beauty is trading now at around about 10-1-ish, something like that. That to me indicates that it is going to be declared for this race, in which case its odds will probably shorten even further. So I'm going to have a little stab at Wild Beauty, probably each way, around about 10-1-ish. Yeah, that'll do for me. Let's see how stupid that makes me look when I come back to you again in the future. Don't know when that'll be. I'd like to try and do something before the Derby and Oaks at Epsom. But if anything crops up in the wonderful world of horse racing between now and then, you can bet we'll be all over it. One thing I'm looking to do, again, it's early days yet, but I think we need more women's voices on these podcasts. I've reached out to a female form analyst on Twitter, and I'm hoping that she's going to be playing ball and giving me her thoughts and insights at some point over the next few podcasts, hopefully starting with the Oaks and Derby in just over a month's time at Epsom in early June. But we shall see. Anyway, for now, that's it. Thanks a lot for showing up for this podcast, as always. It's been a real pleasure having a chat with you. If you've got any feedback or any thoughts at all, drop us a line. Our website is rap.chat. You can email us from there at rapchathelp@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing your thoughts. Look forward to catching up with you again in the not too distant future. Because until that point, this is a wrap.